Hi, everybody. It's Chris here from the Gallagate Shots YouTube channel. Just to let you know, as always, this podcast is now part of the 90 Minute Football Network and proudly sponsored by www.pt-4-u.co.uk. Enjoy the episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Always Smiling Faces podcast on the Gallagate Shots YouTube channel. Everybody who is new to the channel, to the podcast, this has been quite something which we've been starting with quite often this season. Digger?
Oh, yeah.
Say the magic words.
Well, won you not?
Get in!
Did you forget there momentarily that we'd actually won again?
No, I won the game. I just forgot to say it. Like, you know, I forgot I even said it. Sorry.
You're getting complacent with all these victories.
Oh, God.
Okay. At what point?
38 them next season.
At what point do we stop saying that?
Never.
No, I feel like we'll have to at some point. Like, it'll get embarrassing, I think, to be honest. We're just doing it every single week, twice a week.
So, well, maybe when we win a trophy, you'll bring it back. Like,
bring it back when we win a trophy.
So, if you want to stop doing it.
Okay.
And then if we want it, you'd have to bring it back for like, especially.
Do you know what I feel as if we're going on a rough patch of form.
Yeah.
I probably would then say it anyway. Like, you know, if I want, like, had lost two or three in a row, I'd be like,
rough patches of form.
Bring it back in relief.
Yeah.
Rough patches of form are gone now, boys. This is it.
Right. Let's just get straight in because we've got lots to get through tonight. So Newcastle United 2, Arsenal 0. Mark.
Spoiler alert.
Just summarize that. Like,
good luck, man.
Have you, out of all the games this season,
that's I can do it in two words.
Well, that's clearly the best, isn't it? That's clearly the best game this season. Okay, that is the one of the most memorable games I've experienced in a long, long time.
It was just amazing, wasn't it? From start to finish, to a man, they were all just absolutely brilliant. And I did worry after the first half of we're playing so well that we might struggle this second half, because you generally see that, don't you? If you have a very good half, it maybe drops off, or the other team picks up.
Yeah,
so I was a little bit worried, but dear me, if anything, we were even better second half. I honestly couldn't believe what I was seeing in front of us. It was just absolutely amazing, and as Bestie's just said, it's just more of what's to come.
So Bestie, one of the players I want to focus on here, and this is going to be all over the shop as always, like we have done the last few weeks, if you've got any questions, fire them our way and we'll go through them as often as possible. So Callum Wilson, back in the starting 11, mate. And first of all, I want to start to say, yes, we all appreciated what Chris Wood did during that 9-game unbeaten run, especially, and what he's done arriving in January.
Absolutely, yeah.
You can see the difference in quality.
Absolutely. One of the first things that happened was the ball went through, I forget who played it now, and it was Wilson up against, I think, Ben White, and he got in front of him, won the free kick, got him booked, and that was like 5-10 minutes in. And Wood, who's got his virtues, who has done a really good job, he wouldn't have been able to get it up. You know, he hasn't got the kind of and Wilson's not exactly explosive, he's just quicker. He's quick enough. He got in front, got the free kick, and that straight away set the tone. But right the way through, stuff like that. I mean, even the goal, that was an own goal again. Ben White there. But
how long did it take you to work out it was an own goal?
Yesterday.
It wasn't until I think I saw it in WhatsApp. I think a clock said it's not an own goal. I was like, oh, it is. I checked.
Mine was the night time. I think I put in that like 1 a.m. and I'm watching the game again. It's an own goal.
Watching the replays, I'm like, yeah. Well, he's clearly scored, because like it was like every angle, there was like three or four angles. Well, what do you mean he hasn't scored? And then there was one angle from kind of the left hand side from behind the goal, and
it is
an own goal.
A good yard ahead of him, like, guy. But he's on the shoreline, it's causing bother. If he's not there doing that, making a nuisance of himself, and that's what he does. He makes a nuisance of himself. I listened to True Faith's kind of review thing yesterday. I was on a walk, and they were saying that when
listen to this one first, if you have. Stick with this one.
In this, but I'm going to tell him about what I said now. And he's only listen. It's only
he hasn't said if it was good yet.
This was only good bit. they said that Wilson and they were right. He fouls people, but wins free kicks in the process. Remember when you see Shola just jump up in the air and Andy Carroll jump up in the air, arms down, and give a free kick against him? Mm-hmm. Callum Wilson gets fouled whilst fouling somebody.
Very much like a certain other number nine that we used to have.
I'm assuming that you're going with Frank Pingle.
Obviously.
Did he have a number nine, Frank Pingle?
I believe he did.
No, but no, he was, I mean, that shot from, we've got to come with it at some point. That when he takes it on, it doesn't even bounce off his chest, off his knee, he volleyed it, and it, I was convinced.
It was like Shearer against Evan, but he set himself up for it.
It was about three times the distance. Yeah. Out. But yeah, he was like,
the viewer out on that one, because I was on the side. Like,
what did you think of it at the time, Chris?
I was on a piss.
You were what?
I was having a piss.
Oh, no.
In the bog, or did you just kind of warm yourself up?
I never, ever like leave to have a piss mid-game, but what a canny few drinks before kickoff, and I couldn't hold it any longer. And to be fair, I think there was a stoppage in play, and I thought, I can easily get back in a couple of minutes, yeah. Then I came back and Mark grabbed us and went, you almost missed one of the best goals I've ever seen in my life.
It was unbelievable.
Well, you know, it was one of those ones where you kind of, because of the angle I'm at as well, I was like, is it going in there? So I saw Ramsdale. I thought, shit. If he's going for it, yeah, it's either going in or it's, it was the latter where it's kind of flashed half of, like, 6 inches wide, whatever it was. Like, but
God, I don't even think it was that.
Because you see how much it bends as well? Because
It was in for 90% the way, wasn't it?
And it's kind of like that. And you can see it just started tearing half just a little bit. Better next time, Callum. Do better next time.
I'll put a tweet on the day deck, and that third angle that you keep on seeing
from behind.
I still think that's going in the net. Like, my brain still thinks it's like, I'll see the net.
Like, it looks like it's going straight in, doesn't
it? Like Gazan, you're in 86.
I retweeted that one, seeing this in the last replay, which was the third replay of, he was an absolute boss as well in that moment. Like, he's got this guy hanging on. He just brushes him off almost like Les Ferdinand-esque for me.
And,
and then obviously has the ambition or the audacity, if you like, to see. Well, obviously, you see the goalkeeper off. He's like, his awareness, and then obviously take that attempt on. It's incredible.
You ability to get as close as you did as well.
Like, it's unreal. just to touch on the game itself, like, honestly, I felt at the start of the game, I said to my dad, I was like, you know, we're 14th in the Premier League here, man. Like, and look at it, man. And like, as the game went on, obviously, we've all had moments, you know, throughout the years and that, like, but it was one of the most proudest moments of me following this club, like, was Monday night. Honestly, it really was. I just,
those lads around me getting quite emotional at the very end and stuff, but it was incredible from the start. I mean, we looked, if you didn't know football, you didn't know who Newcastle were, who Arsenal were, and you said one of these teams has got to win to finish, to have a chance of finishing fourth, you're kind of like, oh, that's a black and white.
Yeah. It looked like a top of the table team and a bottom of the table team, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they were poor as well. I mean, we were really good. They were desperate, like, in mitigation. But yeah, we were just from the get-go, from when Cat Wilson got white booked, and was a few offsides early on. And
that's right.
We just got at them.
You're right that they played that ball over on the yellow card. There was actually two before that where I thought he was onside. Obviously, I'm probably being biased at the time watching it live.
The one just off.
And you're like, for me, you know, maybe that is going to work. Because, you know what I mean? We're going to hurt them here. And
with a bit of sharpness back in his game, I mean, obviously, it's pre-season's coming up and all that. I think if he's still first choice and all that come next season, because who knows what's going to happen this summer. Full pre-season, good and fit, keep him fit. He's in that situation again, he's onside, I think.
I think he's
a bit rusty.
There's a comment just came in there that's saying after that performance, he deserves another crack next season.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think we've ever been in any disagreement with that. I think our main concern with Wilson was fitness.
Yep. Absolutely.
How many games
are
you going to get out of him?
I don't mean to sound an arse here, but like I did say the week before, like when we sat here, I said, like, well, we'll see when Wilson comes back. I was a bit harsh actually, because I said, well, we'll even forget who it was, because that's how good Wilson is. And like, to a degree, like when you see what he brings to the team, everyone's better with him in the team because of his movement, his runs, his hold-up play. He's got everything, hasn't he?
He was given the captain's armband as well.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Even the chances he missed were chances that we weren't creating.
That
volley that you put over the top and Bruno chipped it back just after the goal, that was.
I think Bruno was almost trying to play for a corner, wasn't he? Like, seemed to get through. And what an attempt that was.
The little chip through by Longstaff when he went for Bruno's goal. Yeah. And that stuff, that they are chances that we weren't getting without him in the team. And again, not to kind of disparage Wood, because I do like Chris Wood, but it's just that's the difference between the two. Different type of player, but a better player as well.
Just on the, I think, the bat of what Chris was saying, we've all said that Wilson, I would hope, getting another chance, but he might get. It's his injury record.
Yeah.
For me, if we are going to sign someone, which we clearly are, has to be like for me. Like, I'm not saying we'll get someone Wilson's complete quality, yeah. But I mean the same style of player.
Yeah,
because Wood's so opposite, it's unbelievable.
Well, Wilson, he's quick, yeah. He's strong. He's like, I see him, you said Liz Ferdinand, then that's probably a really good. And Ferdinand was probably better, or was better in the air, but he was quick, he was strong, he'd hold the ball up.
You mind that performance?
Was a bit of a poacher as well.
I think one of the things that we haven't really mentioned that and picked up on before with Wilson's injury record and stuff like that is the facilities that we currently have at this football club aren't very good for this sort of player who has reoccurring muscle injuries and things like that. Going forward, and the proposed plans for the revamp and the extension of the current training ground, hopefully that'll bring more sort of equipment in for recovery purposes, which might work in Wilson's favour as well.
But he had to go to Bournemouth, didn't he? With the injury, that was the season before last, maybe. So he's I would imagine that's got to be kind of one of the most important. I've seen the plans, and they're going to move the changing rooms around and stuff. They're going to have that kind of L-shaped extension on the left-hand side as you look at it. But yeah, you'd imagine that part of that has got to be a proper rehabilitation, recuperation suite, if you want to call it that. And the employees that come with it, the doctors, the sports scientists, you know, the physiotherapist, because that's just, it feels like a really basic thing, a requirement for a Premier League club and a Premier League club who want to progress to have. I'm not going to mention Football Manager here, but get me back room stuff sorted out straight away. And it's not as simple as that, but surely the same kind of logic applies where you go, right, but he has what we're lacking, so he has what we need to. If Wilson's having these repeated injuries or this repeated problem, muscular injuries, how do we mitigate for that as best we can? You can't necessarily prevent it, but you can make the rehabilitation better. Yeah. And maybe you can, to a certain degree, prevent it to an extent.
And I think on the plans it said they were putting in like a pool and they were putting in the ice baths and all of that kind of thing as well, which for those type of injuries where you don't want to have the impact and stuff like that, that's perfect.
Well,
it's the best way to get back to fitness.
Still, you, Mark. Marty has said...
Metro Marty. Lovely Marty.
Has said, do you think that we'll have a new dental room in the new facilities as well?
I tell you what, he must have... some dentist like to be in the following morning. None of this waiting around for months and months.
It helps when you're on the 80 grand a week.
Neil's in Dubai now. Oh, that could be me. My job.
I didn't know that, obviously, until half time, until someone sent us a photo. Like, yeah. I can't even really remember it at all.
The discoloration in the tooth as well from that photo. It's complex. Isn't it?
It's really bad.
They've just launched
it. Getting no blood into it. There's no blood flow. So it's just busy dying off
in the interview that he does on the pitch when they're doing the line,
he's whistling and he's listening.
He's talking like,
but it's funny, you can see him like in the jumping massively ahead in the video of the walk around the pitch. You can see he's like constantly like feeling that his tooth pushing it back into place.
I'm not sure
that
yet.
Are you not seeing
it?
No. Oh, Beth, get a tissue.
I really
ready.
Want to. Is that good? Is it good? God.
But both ways, both ends, you'll need a tissue.
Evans,
a couple of other players that I want to go through.
Hello,
yeah, mate, it's all going downhill. Yeah, isn't it? We better get an X-rated on the video for this.
I'm not even lying either. So, I want to
no holds barred and uncut.
The two Brazilian lads once again, Joe Linton and Bruno. I'm at the point now where I'm struggling to figure out which one's the better one. Does it have to be a better one? Or they're both just fucking unbelievable?
It has got the point now where I struggle to identify which one's which on that the pitch.
It's a bit more tricky now, isn't it? The matching haircuts.
Yeah.
I thought Joe was unbelievable.
He was phenomenal.
All of them were. But
yeah.
Obviously, you're on about them too. And Bruno was outstanding as well. Honestly, as Joe Linton at times was incredible. Like,
I've thought incredible. Pretty much since he went into midfield, right, that when we've got a bit more money, coming to transfer windows, whatever, he's going to be one of the ones that gets replaced early on. And I'm thinking now, is he? Like, I don't think it's a temporary, like a stopgap, because I kind of always saw it as that a little bit. It's being when he's out of position, really. And then I watched it, I read this thing on Twitter this week, someone from a couple of years ago was saying that when he was at Hoffenheim, he played best as like a link between the midfield and up front. I can't remember the council name, so apologies for that. And he really didn't think about it. He's seen this. And we scouted him 24 times, was 24 games, I think was the number, before he signed. And we played him immediately. Oh, yeah, number 9. Centre forward, out of position. And, like, that. How can the scout someone see what he's doing? I don't think Stevie Nixon's a bad head scout or there's something wrong with the scouts. It's how he was being used.
I can tell, like, yeah, exactly why.
Well, I don't want to say the bloke's name.
That's exactly why.
I'm trying to put the pass behind the thing and all that. There probably will be a point later on. But yeah, like, and he was, you must have this data. You must have this thing to say, here's where he plays, here's his heat maps. Because
don't believe in data.
2019, I'm saying 2020, so all this information is available.
I know who you were pointing at, but I'm not so sure it was his fault. Like, if I have to be fair, yeah. Like,
he's the man that picked the team.
I think partly, like, he's got to be.
Yeah. Well, maybe as time went on, I'd say, but not immediately. I mean, we signed him as the number nine, and he was already coming in.
Well, what I'm
he
saying is, they've watched him for 24 games at Hoffenheim where he's played in this position. Where someone on Twitter has identified.
He always played with another striker. I sat here and said that umpteen times.
Yeah, but to be a centre midfielder, though.
You know, I am a Bundesliga expert.
We all know.
If you wanted to be a bit of a dick as well, you could say Eddie Howe went for this job interview with a proposal on every single player. It wasn't highlighted there that Joe Linton wasn't a striker and he should have been playing in centre midfield.
Absolutely not.
That was sheer chance.
How do you know?
It was just utter luck.
Oh, well, even Howe said that as well. You know, it was just sheer luck.
Kieran Clarke said enough, wasn't it?
Sorry, Eddie, I wasn't bad.
And I go to what Bessie said, like, even I worried, not worried, but like thought, all right, he's done great the last couple of games.
Yeah.
But he'll eventually, will, I hate to say this, but like the Joe Linton that we've seen over the last 18 months, he'll come back out again to play.
Aye.
And it's
wash your mouth out.
Yeah, no,
that will not happen.
And it's wash no, your never, mouth no. This is it.
Mind he's still, for a man who was signed, given the number nine shirt as a striker, he still, when the ball falls over the edge of the box, you think, like, oh, well, never mind. There was one in the
Norwich game, I think, where
swung a foot in it, it went up in the air.
Yeah.
He had a shot at his own head in the box a few weeks ago.
He had a very good chance. Actually, the one where I think Wilson again was battling away.
Yeah.
And it just bounced. And he was half chance. He was on the edge of the box. He blazed
it.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
It was a good chance.
But then there was one with the left foot that got cleared up. That looks like he caught it quite well.
He did. And I was going to reference that actually when there was the first half where they were shooting those leases. Obviously, there were certain moments in the game where, like, he was an absolute battering ram. Like, he was just solid. His touch was brilliant. His link up play was excellent. There was a ball where Shea played, like, across field. It was a lovely ball to him.
Yeah.
He was linking up play really well. He like almost just bulldozed his way through and then had that shot, as you just mentioned. I was like, and that got the crowd up again. And I was just, I sent me down. I absolutely love him. Like, he's just,
what, I do. Right.
What do you think he's currently worth in this market right now? If you had to put a figure, you can't say there's no price. If you're going to sell Joe Linton, what is the asking price?
Well,
Newcastle United's player of the season.
My heart says it has to be more than what we're signing for, but my head probably says it isn't.
I don't know, you know. I think
it is.
We've all sat here maybe a year ago, 6 months ago, whatever, and I'm sure that I've said, oh, you get 10 million for him. I think you get more than 40 million for him, which sounds ridiculous. For a long time, we thought 40 was a rip-off for him, which it turns out it wasn't. We've absolutely had Leon's eyes out for Bruno. Like, he's not a £40 million footballer, 35, whatever it was.
Oh no, God! He's no.
One of his feasts, maybe. His hair dyes, maybe it's worth that. Like, he's just a wonderful.
It just makes us feel warm inside every time we talk about him, and the fact that we've signed him and we've got him.
Aye. So the player that highlighted in his announcement interview, which he done with the club, is that don't expect goals. I am not a goal scorer. He is second top goal scorer at this football club.
He's scored more goals for us in half a season than he has in his career. Like,
up to this point,
that's five. Mental. That's five. Mental. Now, considering he didn't start until God knows how many games after he arrived, he scored five goals.
And there's been some important goals. The Leicester one stands out in the last kick of the game to win the game.
Yeah. He's got both.
And that's why I was always saying he's far too good just to be wasted sitting in a defensive holding midfield role.
He's, and Dick, I think you've mentioned this before, that people feel as if you've got to put a midfielder in a certain category. He's everything. He's literally the ultimate midfielder.
He's like this generation, Robert Lee.
Oh, I was going to actually say similar, yeah. Right. He really, really is. I absolutely love how confident he is on the ball under pressure. Like, there was a few times, even on, you know, for a little lad as well, like, he just knocks people off the ball. There was a few times where
so strong.
There were like, he had the ball. Now, I never get worried. There's certain players when they get the ball, I'm fine with, right? And he got the ball and he was getting pressed a bit, and the lad just fell over. The lad literally just bounced off him, and I'm like, eh.
That's probably the one I was saying. Oh, he plays out towards the Melbourne, and the lad's trying to tackle him halfway, and he just,
you know. I just know you're not having it. But again, there was, he done a
touching our box. where he just whips it around the Arsenal player.
Yes.
I would nothing.
Do you know, because again, that them are the, you know, it wasn't, but like if he times that wrong, that flick, he hits the man, it's a penalty. Bottom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the way they did it was fantastic. Then he drives it out and wins the foul. Which was fantastic, you know what I mean? Yeah. He didn't just smash it away, he carried it out.
Is he the calmest player you've ever seen at this football club? He just literally never panics, ever.
Sure, that was pretty calm.
For the wrong reasons.
He does remind us of Kabay a lot in that regard. Kabay was so calm.
Like, he's a chippy little bastard.
He was a bit more rash, I thought, Kabay. Yeah.
No, I'm what I'm saying in terms of calm, though, like he collect the ball under pressure and he wouldn't give a shit, he wouldn't care, do you know what I mean? And I'll say this again, I still say Shelby's a lot like that. Like, he didn't care. Like, you give him the ball under pressure and I'm not saying he won't give it away, but he certainly doesn't look like he's panicking over it.
There were a few times, even away from the midfielders, when Arsenal, because they started in the second half, they pressed quite high. Mm. In fact, not in the first half it happened, because we're playing towards the leaders. And Shea had it, Dan Byrne had it. I will play back the Dubravka, it's hard. We'll square it, we'll play it out with Emil. There wasn't a point where, there were very few times where they went, I've got to hit this. There's always a ball on, and this went, there you are, have that.
A few things that I sent me dad early on, right, that I was absolutely thrilled with, right? I got probably three things here, and I'll shut it up, I promise. First thing was, is when them got a goal kick, I kept doing me dad, put your hand down, I know what you mean. I kept saying, look at this square here, dad. There were six of our players in the square all the time.
It was very similar to Chelsea.
And every single time we won the ball back from their goal kick, immediately we're getting it back, because there's nothing they could do. If they went short, we'd press them anyway. If they tried to go a little bit long, we just won it anyway. It was unbelievable that. I loved it. And I kept saying, look at this six. Second one was how calm every single player looked on the ball. Mm-hmm. Like everyone, sometimes I've wanted to see us playing, I honestly have thought, God, some of these don't even know how to play football, you know?
Yeah.
Every single player looked confident on the ball. And the third thing I want to say is, Longstaff in that position that he played there was absolutely phenomenal.
He was excellent.
And the amount of times he got beyond Almiron and even Wilson sometimes, Miggy was having an option of Kraft that way or Longstaff ahead of himself. It was unbelievable.
I think it's gone unnoticed as well of how well Sean Longstaff does for our second goal, because the ball comes back. I think Bruno takes the shot and the ball comes back and he just shields the ball. He just stops. Yeah. Then puts the Wilson.
He does a little turn. It was Bergkamp-esque. He took the ball and turned like that.
I think he would have.
But there was a man in front. But what a very lovely, very clever pass it is.
Maybe he's a little bit over.
Little dink.
Well, that's been.
I think it's been harsh. That was meant to be the guy.
Honestly, it was unreal.
It was a fantastic ball. Just the presence. There was one in the first half where Bruno. It might actually be Longstaff that he played the ball there, wouldn't it? In their box, he's 20 yards out, and the obvious ball's Miggy, or maybe it's Kraft on the wing, and he just goes through the defenders. They show Longstaff.
Yeah,
and it was similar to that where he's had the presence of mind. Just go, that's yours. Mm. I'll just play that. You've got a ball.
It's a great ball. The only way the ball is getting through is with that pass for him. So from have that awareness and the skill to do it was just
beautiful. Well, hopping amazing. All over the game here, but something you're about the players kind of under pressure and the touch and stuff. There was one that I saw during the game, and I watched the game again on Tuesday morning. It happened, and I've not seen it referenced since. It was one where the ball comes over and targets under it. And he controls it, and at the same time knocks it through. I think Tommy has his legs.
Oh, it's beautiful!
It's unreal.
it was just lovely,
perfect little touch. There you are, through your legs.
Yes,
Target and Saint had Tommy Asu on toast.
Absolutely ruined him. Saint dummied him and you made him fall over.
Now that you've mentioned him, because I didn't think I would. I thought that was one of Saint's better games in terms of his performance.
Team player.
Honestly, that might be the best I've seen him play.
As a team player, yes. I thought that.
He's been more spectacular, but some of the stuff he did, just laying the ball off. The port of Joe Linton for the first goal down the line.
When I watched the game when I got back in and I watched it again Tuesday, the third time I watched the game, I just wanted to watch him.
Degger does have a job, you know.
Yeah, watching Newcastle. I think I've watched more after games than Bruce ever did, to be honest. And I was watching Maxi, and honestly, every time I was like, that's mentally done that. That's really good he did that there.
Yeah.
There was another one where it looked like a lost cause, but he chased it down and managed to get in front of someone. Done a little bit, of, you know, just to sort of hold the play up, and then he gave it straight a target.
Yeah.
There was another one where the ball came into him, and the old Saint would 100% control it and try to beat everyone. First thing he did was whip it in. The second half, he didn't really do anything, to be fair, at all. I can't really, well, apart from said Joe Linton on the line. But it was a quiet
game, which he wouldn't normally
have
done.
We didn't have the ball as much in the second half. We gave Arsenal the ball and said, right, you can come and beat one now.
Yeah.
And that's how, because the first half, Arsenal played like we'd played for 2 years prior to the takeover at the time, where the the team would attack and we'd kind of cling on somehow, slice the ball clear, loads of long balls out of defence to play. And then they would try and break with Saka, would got some joy down the right early on. I say early on, first half. But then Newcastle in the second half said, we have the ball and we just controlled it. Even without the ball, so.
I think what we'll have to mention as well is how well Sane was, but credit to Miggy over the other side.
Because
if Miggy's having a good game, then that just means Sane's going to obviously have more space to do what he wants to do.
He did have loads of space, you know, because there's a lot of times in the first half, it was between Kraft, Miggy, Bruno, Longstaff. It seemed to be the same four. And Sane was on his own on this side, got loads of times, you know, but they didn't just give him it for giving him a sake.
They just couldn't handle the amount of quality that we had dotted all over the field. And just to touch on Miggy, player that we've criticised Miggy and his end product, and the only thing he's really bringing to the team is work rate and things like that. We've seen a completely different player in the last couple of games there, Mark.
He's just very much like Saint was. It was a mature performance and a much more all-round performance around that, the kind of the way that he approached the game, and not just, you know, being that headless chicken that's sometimes thrown at him. He was much more involved. He was making himself available for it, carrying the ball, giving it and passing it. And I think having the centre three of Wilson, Bruno and Joe, they just bullied everybody in the middle of the park and really put them all under pressure, which then freed up Saint and Almiron on both the wings. Every time.
There it is.
Every week.
What are you doing? End of the season.
I'm always animated with my hands.
Ironically, that is an animated picture.
That's just helping them do it.
A drawing.
Some ourselves. That's
right. But they just... Having that amount of space and time just brought out the best in both of the wingers, and it's just great to see.
I totally agree. And what I'd also say as well, and it reference to what I kind of said before, is there's a lot of times with Miggy and Saint, right, there's a lot of solo runs used to happen forward, right, where they would get the ball and just charge, right?
Yeah.
And they'd be totally isolated, right? Totally, right? And Miggy would lose the ball or someone would say, oh, it's the wrong pass. Yeah, but he probably only had one man up there with him. What I see now is when Miggy's collecting the ball, first of all, he's collecting the ball in their half. He's not picking it up deep and having to run the full length of the field. He's picking the ball up in their half, but there's so many options for him. And as I referenced again, Longstaff was getting beyond Almiron, honestly, all the time. For example, one of the first half chances where Ramsdale spills it. Longstaff is, again, beyond Almiron. I think it's Bruno that slips him in at that point.
It
was a beautiful pass, pass. And it's just having Kraft as well bombing on. He did it in the second half where I think it was quite late on as well. He picked the ball up at right back, ran almost the front of the field, give it to Miggy. Miggy gave him a straight back, and we're in. We're literally in.
Well, right at the end, obviously we had Murphy and Fraser came on as a sub, and the pair of those went through on goal in the
absolute chuckle roll moment for them too.
It was just a little bit.
They couldn't figure out who wanted the ball.
It was Murphy's ball to Fraser. It was
too early.
A little bit behind him.
Too early.
I think maybe it was a second or two too early as well. But it was
behind him that killed him. Killed the move, didn't it?
It killed the momentum. I thought they both did well when they came on as well. I think Fraser probably, although it's a really good save by Ramsdale, that one where Gale plays him in right at the end.
It wasn't. You think of the chances well of it. And sorry to go right back. Maxi had the first chance, I think.
Yeah.
He physically got inside.
Cuts in.
It was a very good effort as well. Great save down low.
I think Miggy comes close to closing Ramsdale down as well.
It goes across the goal early on.
He was falling over a lot, Ramsdale.
Early on, low.
We were talking about that one, like as if he's had his plimsolls on.
His first four kicks, it's like he forgot to put his boots on.
Yeah.
But even from the kick, which I thought was strange, from the kickoff, they actually played the ball straight back to him. He was almost playing in a number four role. Like, he was that far up the pitch, played to him. And he goes to kick it, kicks it, and just falls straight over from the kickoff.
It was twice in the first minute. That was twice the first minute and 40 seconds it happened, I think it was.
We'll be here all night. We'll go through every individual performance. But just another highlight, I think Lascelles coming on, he done a great job.
Very good.
Lascelles came on.
He was nasty, you know. Hard, nasty.
He literally knocked the soul out of somebody at one point.
He really did. Even I went, because it was in front of me, and I went, oh, and I thought it looked quite bad, to be honest with you.
You don't see nothing Matrix where they're just braming the chest and his body just leaves
him.
The deck.
Avengers Assemble, isn't it? Or, no, the last Avengers film where Tilda Swinton belts the Hulk and he comes out the back.
I think it's another Matrix as well.
I think it was the Matrix.
Every time there was a long ball, like from the goalkeeper, for example, he was absolutely through the back whoever it was.
I think
did you worry when Shea went off? Like because going back to what you said, where Burn and Shea were very, very comfortable in possession. Yeah. You know what I mean? When Shea went off, I thought, oh, I'm not gonna lie, I did go, oh, Lascelles is coming on. Now will that change it at all?
Like, I was a little bit not worried, but I thought like it's more likely.
I think Lascelles a lot still, of that defensive setup.
You can still see Lascelles isn't as comfortable on the ball as,
of course not,
as Shea or Burn, or even Freddy Fernandez.
There was only one moment where I thought, oh, that's the old Lascelles, where I think them lobbed it forward, like knocked it forward, and he had all the time in the world to bring it down. And he headed it back.
Yes, I remember.
Lost the ball and then went on a bit of a break. And I was like, that's what we always used to do.
Yeah, that's what we didn't.
Whereas Shea or Burn would have took the chest and started again. Do you know what I mean?
But yeah. Just, but he was
brilliant.
He did play really well.
I want to mention with two wing backs as well. Emile Kraft, another great game. Matty Target, another great game. He does an interview on the pitch and he basically says, everybody knows what I want. It's out of my hands. He wants to stay. It's clear he wants to stay.
Gabby Bugglehore doesn't know what he clearly wants.
Yeah, so he commented on his Instagram saying, remember, don't get carried away. Remember, you're a Villa player or something like that. Get fucked.
Go to Brentford instead.
It was lovely chanting for him as well, wasn't it, by the fans? It was lovely chanting. They were chanting it quite a lot.
You know what I thought? Nice. And I almost felt sorry for him. I thought, it was like we took that corner and it felt like, well, I haven't got a proper chant for you, so I just going to do this one mighty target.
It was all right.
But it fit, and then they did it on the lap upon it. Yeah, it was nice.
It was nice, yeah.
Yeah.
It was
nice. What would your mighty target chant be, Bestie, if I'm putting you on the spot right now?
I'm going to
grab a beer.
I've been trying to think of an Emile Kraft one as well, but I can't, because we do recycle an awful lot. Callum Wilson gets a ball, scores a goal and all that. Like, hey, Callum Wilson, I don't know.
Kieran Trippier, Stoll, Ryan Taylors.
Yeah. It won for target.
We'll give you some time to think about
that. Thank you, if you wouldn't mind.
Hey, Matty, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Matty.
Right, you try and get 50,000.
Hey, Matty.
Hey, Matty. Have I told you about the one that Kevin Little came up with? Shea Given.
Yes, I think you have mentioned it before.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal, that was.
It is 1-0 to Rangers, by the way.
Oh, is it 1-0? Yeah. Oh, I was just pointing about
it. As long as you don't spoil Derek Gills for us, I'm all right.
Oh, it is 1-0 to Rangers.
What I want to mention, performance of the weekend goes to War Flags.
Absolutely.
Is Monday the weekend?
Yes, it is. When you're going to drink all day,
isn't that the start of the week?
No, performance of the week. It's because they were grafting all weekend. That's where I was leading from that one. So they started grafting on Friday.
That's a good
evening.
Save that.
Friday evening, they were in there. They got to go and meet the players and watch them train on Saturday morning. Even had to do a presentation in front of the full playing squad.
What
about who they were, what they've done, the organization of it all, and stuff like that. I think Thomas had the job of doing that,
did he?
In front of them all, yeah.
Good
then,
on.
Obviously,
good on him.
After that, straight back into St. James's Park to carry it on. And they were there from 9:30 on Sunday morning. I went to help them around about 2:30, 3 o'clock. I was there for around about 3.5-4 hours, and it was just about done when I left. And that's 40,000 seats.
49, wasn't it?
With something on them. Yeah. The work that has gone into that display, I have never seen anything like that. Never mind in the Premier League, in English football.
Anywhere, really? Anywhere. A whole stadium.
Anywhere.
With the exception of the away end, obviously, the whole stadium.
It is phenomenal. And I knew it looked good before the fans were in there.
Mm.
When the flag started waving 15 minutes before kickoff, it was electric.
And it was absolutely chock-a-block. I got in there at about 22 and it was already busy. People had gone like, we're getting here, we're going to get involved with this. Like, it was brilliant. The flags have been, I mean, in the championship season, I think that was when they started. They were excellent. They were really good. And obviously you've got a lot of the flags that kind of have survived from that period, like the shirts and the Colin Veitch and the Jackie Milburn ones and stuff. And since the takeover, honestly, every game there's been like, it's just lush. It's really good to watch. I've got a mate who sits behind the big ones, the Gallagher, who always hates them because he can't see now.
Yeah.
That used to be me.
Well, imagine it, no. Hello, John, if you're watching, by the way. I think he is. But that was the first time I had a flag. And I've got the net above us. I've got it. I'm like, and you can't see me right in the corner. But unreal. Absolutely brilliant. And it's made a massive difference. I've referred to it a few times, but there was an episode or an edition of Soccer Saturday when Jeff Stelling's going, oh, they're coming out. He just goes, oh, look at that. Aye. And I forget which it might be. I forget which game it was. Now it's a while ago. It's quite early on in this kind of era.
I think it was another Spurs game.
It was the first game.
It might have been. Yeah. And he was like, oh, look at that. And that was, that's like small beer compared to now. Can you imagine like that Scott put them in a WhatsApp group? I think it was a drone or a helicopter shot from before the game. Where you see the Melbourne and it's just black and white stripes. And the massive blue, it was absolutely like brilliant. Like Chris says, you'll never ever see stuff like that in football normally.
I think what's also amazing is like when they first started, it was, you know, we all knew how impressive it was and how amazing it was. But I never thought it would come out the Gallagher. I thought, honestly thought it'll be what it is, but it'll just be that end.
Yeah.
And for them now to go to the effort to put flags in other places and then, oh, actually, we'll do this the next time. And then this one was literally...
Oh, level seven and that.
You know, it was absolutely... It was incredible. Like, because the other week they had the massive one in the Leeds end, didn't they?
That looked amazing. That looked
incredible. You know what I mean? I thought, oh, well, you kind of get better than that one. And then they've done it again and it's like...
It's almost as if, like, the stuff they've done with that level seven ones against, like, Palace or Leicester and the Leeds is having the... It's almost as if the little bits that have expanded were, like, trials. Like they've had this one in mind. We're going, oh, we'll see what the take-up's like. But everyone, as I say, I was there 22, quarter to eight, and it was like the whole crowd had bought into it, completely gone right.
Once Status Quo came on, like, I must admit, it was
high.
It was absolutely...
I think that's one of the things, because they've always struggled in the past to have enough volunteers and people to actually even wave the flags. So when they've had the flags there, they've been able to put them there, but nobody's waved them. And I think that's because of there wasn't that good feeling about the club like we have at the minute. So,
because of one man. It's unbelievable, isn't it? The poisonous and the feelings that one man can stop everything that we're doing now because of one man couldn't.
Could it be said, right, that because of him, he was the poison, he was what stopped it. But there's been a building. Now, them showers, you can get the shower heads that hold the water up.
With the stones and the bead things in.
Yeah, but they kind of they obstruct the water.
I need to have a conversation.
So when the water comes out with more force.
Yep.
To me, Mike Ashley was that part of the shower head that stopped that from happening. But since if he had never been here, we wouldn't have get the flag displays like we have now.
Yeah, that's a fair comment.
I think he's kind of, and I'm not using it to kind of give him credit. I say, oh,
he bottled it up, sort of.
It's been this build up of kind of like frustration and kind of like pent up. Like, we want to support our team and we're trying to, but there's a barrier. And now it's like even stuff like, and I'm cynical at the stuff about it. My dad and Amanda and Jamie Groom at half time coming down with the kids. I was like, does that really need to happen? Like, inwardly, but I'm sitting out here now, so it's not him at all, is it? I'm thinking like, well, that it feels a little bit kind of self-gratifying to us of them.
I would agree.
I didn't get the half time.
However,
I think I know what you're going to say here, and I kind of agree.
They were coming around and actually thanking everybody in the stands and stuff like that, and giving more, saying thank you and giving them more things.
You were going to go with the academy players that were with, because they'll hit the people that have been cheering for the academy players, but also for them. And that's now something, another theory I've had, it's all come out. And I think I've said it on here before. I definitely said it with me and Taylor, did our podcast. Was how was that? It's good, that one.
Long time ago.
Yeah, that's a while ago. Again, listen to True Faith yesterday. There was a point where Alex goes,
Jesus Christ.
There's a point where Alex goes,
anybody else you want to plug?
Nah.
It's the same podcast. He says, oh, there was a point, we've been doing this 9 years now. And I was like, oh, yeah, have they been doing that long? Totally forget me. I started that. But me. But I had a thing when...
Who started best?
Ashley Fermi and Taylor. when Jeremy played for the club, it's Jeremy that was in my head. I was thinking, if you get Jeremy warming up and it's a bit lackluster, you want someone going on with him like Les Ferdinand. And the crowd go, oh, Les Ferdinand. And Jeremy goes, what, I love us. And I think there's a little bit of that with the Academy youngins where they were going around, they were going like, you can see they were like chaining the crowd
up.
It was
funny that when they were doing that.
It was really funny, a little bit like cocksure and that. They'll have been buzzing off that. The noise that was probably created more for my dad, Jamie Rubin and Mandy Staves. Like, they'll have been getting a benefit. They'll be going, fuck, it's amazing this.
Yeah. Did you see that half time when the kids won?
No.
Because I thought you referenced the wrong part. So he didn't mean the end when them were there.
So they went on a walk around at half time.
We were partaking
in refreshments.
No, it felt a little bit self-congratulatory.
I was surprised to see them.
Yeah,
I loved how they got a picture with the kids at the front, and I expected that, if I'm honest. But when they started doing this sort of like little lap of appreciation, And then we're with them. I was like, oh, this is strange. Yeah. That's fine. That's fine. Very, it's just strange. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying, oh, that there mustn't be. It's a very mild kind of, not even criticism, just a kind of, oh, that's.
Well, it's because I've never, ever seen owners of a football club walk around with academy kids at half time.
No, never.
Ever in my life. But then, so that's why I'm going, oh,
the way I look at that, when I saw it today, I thought maybe I might be completely wrong here because these kids are the future of this club.
That's
what they're. So I believe future. The children are the future.
So maybe. That sort of thing, I don't know.
Maybe I was kind of thinking again with kind of go at full time. Dick, I was saying I've never seen owners do that before. Half time going on with it. I've never seen them kind of embrace the players as much as they did. Like Bruno with like
Vincent Tan used to do that.
Like, he's shagging her like allegedly. And I'm telling you.
So is Jamie Rubin. I'm telling as well. You.
Something going on there.
Like. Nah, you know what it is if you got murdered at home, like. Nah, you don't play away like
what I will say is I mean other than maybe there is a few owners coming to mind that have, you know, I've seen Roman, for example, hug Lampard, for example, but like I've never seen this kind of relationship.
It seems like mental, isn't it? Just like, seems like a massive family. It really does. It sounds cringy saying it, but everything associated with the club and how much the new owners have involved fans, wore flags, different fan groups that have met them, the supporters trust have met them, then just the player interaction with the owners as well.
Yeah.
There's that connection that we haven't had at this club for God knows how long.
And I'm going to reference something that someone put in the group just before, and I hadn't seen it until the day where he's the best, like Eddie Howe, like, but how class it was that he sat on that media press conference thing and said, like, I just want to thank yous lot because. Yeah. I think that we're a team as well, like, and you've went away and carried that message, and we need to like be sort of almost friends with each other. And then them applauded him.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, for once, probably, maybe not ever, because there was certain years there was, but it really feels like every single being of the club is pulling in the right direction.
Everything's going. Everything. Those times when like Eddie's done everything, he's said everything spot on. His PR has been absolutely like the owners for the most part has been as well. We'll come on to maybe what could be a little bit of a hiccup later on, I dare say, with regards to the new shirts and stuff like. But
yeah, that's on the list.
I thought it might be. In fact, you told me what I knew it was. but Decker, you're right. Like even when Rafa, 2010.
We haven't mentioned him for a long time.
This could be the last time when Rafa was here. It was like the players were pulling it that way. The crowd was. That was as close as I've felt to the team up until now, since Bobby, probably, to be honest with you, Glenn Rhoda. Like the management, the coaches, it all felt with in the press as well, what was going the right direction, except for the club.
Yes.
Except for the overarching Ashley, Charlie, I was going to say Lombardi, say Charlie. There was something that was rotten, and that was kind of what was stopping. Even when Rafa was here and I was there, I loved him, you know that. I think we all did, whatever. It was just that kind of spectre almost in the background, kind of like, this is going to stop you and this is going to end, and it did end in tears and ended with Bruce coming in. But like now it feels like the fans are going that way, the club are, the players are, the management on Eddie Howe, the press have been great as well. The last questions really had to be asked.
Yes, it's more so the local ones, isn't it, that have been
great. Oh yeah. I mean,
we all know that problem outside,
but I mean those conversations at the outside for the most part have got to be had regarding the ownership. I think a lot of it's spiteful. I think a lot of it is arguing. It's trying to use what is a fucking dreadful situation over there, not getting into this too much, to their own ends to score points on it to try and like win over. You know, it's a lot of it's pathetic, but a lot of it is kind of
it's a serious topic.
So it's a very serious topic and something that we've got to consider. But that notwithstanding, everyone at the club, every single, it seems to be going right. We're going to make Newcastle United better. We're going to try and improve. We're going to try and progress. And it's lush to be, and I can't think of a time I've been in the ground, maybe when they beat Forest 5-0 in 97 and qualified for the Champions League. I can't think of a time I've been in that ground and felt like I felt on Monday night. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It was like powerful.
It stayed with us for days, honestly for days. I just kept thinking about it and rewatching the game, and it was an unbelievable feeling, wasn't it? In the end, like I didn't get teary or anything, but like, when they'd done that photograph at the end, you know, that was amazing.
That was like
that is the photo that, not that photo, but the other photos have been pissing everyone off, which we love. Mm-hmm. And then to like kind of go, this is two fingers to Ollie's, because it, was everyone, kids, family.
So it was the Gallagher, the crowd,
the
as well.
Yeah, the crowd as well.
It was, every, it was just,
like, what a moment.
When I said earlier that the flags, every little increase, Leeses, Milburn level, felt like a kind of, right, welcome, that's like it's a tester.
Yeah.
That picture at the end felt like a culmination of all the pictures that have been taken so far. That was like, right, here's a big one.
You've seen that coming.
I saw you.
It was me.
For me, it was like...
Les. Big Les, he's
dropped behind the sign.
For me, it was like, it was almost a nod to the fact of you've been part of this victory as well.
Very much so,
you
know, yeah.
So let's get you in the photo. So no,
it was outstanding, wasn't it? It was
so it's one of my favourite moments of any season, that.
When Jesus Christ, what's gotten on?
It's because it's that woman here again.
It is.
I'm going to summer for
it's warm today.
Yeah. We're falling apart. If you do want to become a member for $2.99,
we need glue.
We can't get extra glue to hold everything up.
His head fell off or something.
Poor Holly's picture fell down.
So it's one of my favourite parts of any season when it's the lap of appreciation.
Yeah.
And having the families and obviously the family, the kids and the wives and partners, whoever it may be on the field. I just love that moment. And I think... Once again, they came out and said it's just that family feeling. Once everything, you mentioned the photo, it's and the kids like kicking about, and Bruno's like doing rainbow flicks over like some random kids.
Kieran Trippier, that's just kicking the shit out of some kids. You've seen the picture of Vinnie Jones tripping a kid up, and I think playing for Leeds or Sheffield United. He's on the pitch and he's Vinnie Jones' legs up there. There's a kid just flying over him, like a young kid. And Trippier was doing it, he did it four or five times.
I'm assuming it was his own kid that he did it. Like,
maybe it was like nominative determinism because he's called Trippier. At some point in the day, he's just got a fucking leather. Some kid just trip him up. Like.
If you were affected by Kieran Trippier on Monday night, please call.
It's just one of those things. And Josh, he has donated, says, "Hey lads, if you were at the game on Monday, where would you say it ranks in terms of atmosphere? Probably the best I've experienced. I honestly don't want the season to end. I've never felt like that before." He says, "I even managed to have a chat with Amanda during her lap of honour, and she actually thanked him for his support. And it almost broke down. It was nice to feel valued."
Definitely. That's something that they've done. I mentioned the kind of the PR side almost. It sounds cynical to say that. But they're doing everything from a fan's perspective. They're doing everything right. They're talking to fans. Listening to fans, not just talking, but they're actually kind of they appear to be taking stuff on board. Whether or, you know, how far that goes, I never know. But it feels united. There's another line for you. But yeah, that was regarding the atmosphere. That's the best I've heard it experienced in St James's. Certainly as an adult, I'm 40 year old now, so that's 22 years, maybe ever. That might be my favorite ever atmosphere inside the ground.
I'm thinking that because I remember one of my favorites was when we won the championship, the way that we did. And I left the ground talking to my dad about that, and I said that eclipsed that by personally Monday, eclipsed it. Like,
it was no comparison. That was a great day as well. But
it was a great day. It really was. And considering the way that we won it, obviously they're going up, staying up, going down, or whatever it was, you know, and then they scored for us to win. But I can't recall. Honestly, I cannot recall a better atmosphere. And
fan involvement, I would probably argue, when we lost the game against Benfica.
Oh, in the semi-final.
It was
a quarters, wasn't it?
When we lost that one.
Wasn't it? When they scored and we all stood up, that was a lovely moment.
But that was obviously for different sort of teams and stuff like that. But that was the thing. You should try this, lads.
A good goal.
I think as well, it's going to sound really daft, I'm going to say here, but most things I say are daft. But of course, the fans are there and all the flags have been there and Amanda's on the pitch and everything's amazing. But the football was mint. We're played mint.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean? It's not just like Ashley's gone, Sports Direct's gone, we've got owners that care, but we're not very good still. But we're all right. We're plugging away and everyone's united. We're fucking good.
That almost feels lost and everything else. Yeah, but they played really well.
We played amazing.
I've been thinking since. I thought it on the day and I've been stupid, but I still think now and I kind of stand by and maintain. With this group of players, anyhow, what we're talking about, we'll finish 10th next year. We'll finish a lot higher than 10th. There's only 9 places higher than 10th, so we're not going to finish top 4.
Comfortably 10th. But
I think with and the rest, I think I'm looking at Wolves and West Ham. Only 10 points.
It's phenomenal what he's done with what
10 points off West Ham
with that team.
Was it not? If you just look at the points picked up since the turn of the year, Newcastle would be challenging for that European spot, but Champions
fourth,
League.
I think it was fourth.
I think since he came in, we are with top six, notwithstanding, I think we're the best of the rest, seventh.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's.
And we're not sat here saying we're going to get Champions League football next season. But with a couple of additions, it's not that far fetched if we continue this run of form.
What he's getting out of this squad, it's exciting.
That's what I keep looking very exciting. Squad. And another thing is obviously Arsenal. And it isn't. It's an over isolation. It's one game of football.
Yeah. But
it's a huge game for them.
Them were going for top four, mm-hmm. right? They were in the top four before Wednesday. They were there at that moment. And we absolutely battered them. Battered them.
Totally. Made them off the park.
Off the park. And I think I'm normally the most, not negative is the wrong word, but
you know, because that's money.
Maybe that, yeah. people that actually go, I think we'll get in Europe next season. I'm like, no, don't be ridiculous. A decent cup run in 11th. But then I come away from that game thinking, do you know what it is? If we get it right in the summer and we can continue the problem is the season's ending. That's the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. I just wish it was starting tomorrow. I think you put a great tweet. I'm saying the same, right? I wish it was just starting next week. If we can somehow carry on this momentum, why not? Why? Sky's the limit.
You try and finish as high as you can, don't you?
Always, of course.
I think I said the other week, every season you've got to try and win 38 games of football in the league. No one does it, but you've got to try and do it. And then if you try your best to win all those games, you're going to. So aim for why have a target? Why not just try and win all those games and then see where you end up?
And then you always had that thing when Bruce first came in. Remember the line he used to say, I'm just here, I'm just trying to keep ticking along.
That was
that famous line of basically keep them in the division.
Yeah.
You know, ownership was standing. You know, Eddie Howe wouldn't rest upon that. 10th isn't good enough, 9th's not good enough. It's being the very best that we can possibly be. And again, that's exciting. So
it's been a perfect, not perfect. I want to say that since the takeover, everything's been totally rosy. Wow. But it's hard to say how realistically could it be any better than it has been the last 6 months, 7 months since the takeover, 8 months maybe. Getting Howe in, where the transfer window was, the Trippier signing been 12 days, mm-hmm. the transfer window, quite early on. And then there'd been a week where people are going, hang on, no one signed, what was wrong? Remember that when we're sitting here, people were kind of going, like shitting their pants.
It'll be similar in the summer, mate. It'll be similar.
I think some people will be impatient, but I think because relegation was such a certainty in January, until 3 months ago, maybe, I think that it was.
I saw them celebrate. I thought it was too much. Sorry,
you knew
something.
Sorry, best.
Sorry, mate.
I've totally lost me.
You've done that Carragher thing on my leg again.
I saw that. That's what's thrown us.
I think he had some. Do you have something to say, Mark? I was just going to say,
train of thought,
I hope Sunday isn't a little bit of an after the Lord Mayor's show because Monday night just felt
that's a nice little phrase. I've never heard that before.
Haven't you? After the Lord Mayor's show?
It's only a golf thing. I always get it on. So you might do a really good
all the blokes.
You'll do a really good one, maybe. But you'll do a really good hole, you'll birdie it, and then the next hole you'll birdie it after the Lord Mayor show.
It basically means the Lord Mayor show.
Bit of a come down.
And then the day after is shite.
Yeah. But
if everything goes down, that's good, right?
It just felt like.
So, when you're on a stag do and you go too hard on the first night.
And you crash and burn the next one. Yeah.
I think that's pretty fair. After the Lord Mayor show.
But just Monday just felt like almost the perfect end to the season. Just everything kind of came together on the night with the display. The atmosphere, all of the players, the families, the performance, as Decker said, that it was almost the icing on the cake, because you could have had all of those other things mm-hmm. and we might have lost, and it just wouldn't have felt as perfect as it did on that Monday night. So I've got that little bit of worries after that amazing high that we had there. We've still got another game to come at the weekend, which... All right, in the grand scheme of things, it's not massively important to us because we've achieved what we wanted to achieve. We've stayed up. We've done it comfortably now. I know Eddie won't allow them to do that because he'll have that pride of wanting to make sure that they put the performance in and do it. But I'm just a little bit wary, especially with Burnley having a lot to play for and that kind of thing as well.
If anybody else has got any more questions, fire them our way, because... Well, we're going to have a conversation in regards to the new leak kit, but I think I'm going to drop it because I feel this has been such a positive podcast.
Why don't we have a kits special podcast?
Yeah, because it's been so positive tonight and we're bigging up the club and the performances and what's happened. I think we should put that on the back burner until it's official that these are going to be the kits, because I don't want to bring it down out of this. So if you've got any questions, send them our way and we'll go through as many but not as about possible. The kids. Not about the kids.
Not about the kids.
I think they're all lovely, so I don't think they'll bring it down.
Go what you're saying there, Mark. And there is going to be, it might not happen at Burnley, but there is going to be a point at some point where we'll lose a couple of games because that's just life, and that's how football works. Like, there is going to be a bit of a lull at some point. Like, but like Monday, it was like it was almost like the end of a film.
It was like a culmination of everything that had gone into pulling the team together.
Film is like.
I wish it was the end of the season. I wish only had it been like.
Imagine that was it. That was just the last game of the season. It couldn't have got any better.
Finish films all the time.
You finish films all the time.
Oh God, I thought of course I.
There's the pen.
There it is. That was very good. That
completely lost on you, though.
Oh, I've been sleeping on the sofa. It has
lost like number five.
It's a long week.
I think someone might have said this before somewhere, but like that Arsenal game came on the back of us getting beat 5-0 off Man City.
Yeah.
Like
two losses because
the whole game was. There was no shame in that in a sense, but and I know some people think getting beat off Man City final was not a problem either because of how good they are, but. I thought the last couple of goals were distasteful. It looked like they could, they had just give up.
Yeah, that was it.
Do you know what I mean?
Bad memories there. Like,
you could easily say, like, oh, but what's Monday going to be like? But Monday was absolutely incredible. And I'm sure I've said this weeks ago that I believe that when the run comes, that may have come, that was lose a few games in a row. I'll never be fine with losing, but I will believe that we'll have the right person in charge to try and
be a plan
and turn it around again.
Turn it around. And that's more evidence there. We've been absolutely thumped. And we've come back against someone who was going for the top four and absolutely battered them.
Well, if you think about that's the third time Howe's done it. He's turned it around when we started with the run of feet that leads to all those games.
Spurs.
Then we had the run of defeats. He did it again after that. The run we lost to Chelsea, Everton. Someone else.
Yeah. Chelsea, Everton, went on the break.
It was three defeats, wasn't it?
Three, I thought. Chelsea, Everton, went on the break.
Tottenham 5-1.
Right, okay.
And then we're... Came back and started winning games again. Then we had the two Man City, Liverpool. Yeah, you're going to lose them. Like, but I know what you mean. The 5-0 against Man City. I think it was disgraceful. But the last couple of goals were kind of like that's Pardew-esque or Bruce-esque almost. Mm-hmm. And then again, I mean to say, turn it around after one game is maybe a little bit.
You're going up against a similar sort of opponent in a team that's challenging.
A team that
still got something to play for. It's not like we're in holding mode or anything like that.
And a team that we're only trying to beat. Or trying to finish in the same position as a team that beat 5-1 2 months ago. So, a similar kind of standard and absolutely like eviscerated them.
Wiped the floor.
Scott has gave a great shout. If you do want to hear conversation about a football kid, there's actually a video there for members only at the minute where me, Decker and Scott talk about Newcastle's home
our
kit.
Our Scott.
Right. So we mentioned the home kit and the third kit.
Yeah.
This was the night before
the
Saudi green kit
was mentioned.
The white kit, you mean?
There's a great end to that one as well because I start talking about what strip I want. And it's a bit uncanny happens the next day.
Yeah.
Well, become a member, $2.99 a month, and you can go watch that one. Freddie says, who do you all think is going down? It's not you, Mark. So it's between Burnley, Leeds, and Everton. It's a massive game tomorrow.
Yes.
Regardless of what's going to happen at the weekend.
I think Leeds. I think Leeds.
Bestie.
Don't want it to be Leeds, but
I'm trying to get a lead table up. So
it's Leeds.
It looks most likely to me that it will be Leeds. Like, I think the Burnley have won a few games now. They've got a tough one on Sunday against us, but I don't know if they've maybe already done enough. Everton have started to pick the points up a little bit. Leeds are in free fall, aren't they? Or did they get it?
They drew at home against Brighton somehow. But obviously, that Brentford game against Everton was ridiculous really what happened.
3-2,
it was just madness. Rondon's was madness.
Fireworks don't work.
Yeah, that's where they were.
Well, apparently they weren't even at the hotel.
They drove that day. All I've done is walk some people in it. Like,
did I
have a weekend?
I put a tweet out saying you could have done it for a bit longer because I was only awake for like 3 minutes or something like that.
Probably just spoiled his wank and leave him about. You need to watch Rondon's. I don't know what he's thinking. He literally just 2 foot.
That's naughty, isn't it?
But now that
he's mid sat down.
So obviously
it looks like Leeds. It looks like Leeds.
Tomorrow they've got is it Palace tomorrow? Everton, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it is Palace. It would be Do you know what? I want them to go down, so of course I want them to lose, right?
And we'll want Everton to go down. Of course we do. We're saying that now.
And it would be interesting. Sunday would be.
Not that bothered, but I would like it.
Sunday would be mad. Like if them get beat, all of a sudden we are actually involved in it.
Yeah.
For once, not the other way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, but I think Leeds will go. Like
yeah, I'm in agreement. I think it looks like it. I would love it to be Everton, but
I think if Burnley lose tomorrow night, that's probably them done. Like, but they've got a chance against Villa.
2 points behind Leeds.
1 point.
Just a quick talk about the title, can you believe, Gerard?
2 points, 2 points, Everton.
It's unbelievable, that, isn't it? With a chance to rock the boat. Like, it's mad, that, isn't it?
So, Liam Coates says, any GS plans for over the summer break and an end-of-season review, etc.? We're still going to need our always-smiling faces fix. Yes, we may be going back and doing something which we've done during the first lockdown, I think it was. So
yeah.
The awards night, which we did, which we all got. Absolutely
hammered.
Too much.
Very drunk.
Way too much to drink that night. But we'll have a special host on that one as well. So we will be announcing that one in the next couple of weeks, I would have thought. And I've got a notebook full of ideas, which you don't really know about. Bestie does a little bit, because I was talking to Bestie about it before we went live tonight.
Because Bestie came here early.
So I came up with one idea.
There's always a first.
Only you had one idea.
Did. But it was a nice idea.
It was all right, wasn't it? It'd be good, I think.
So yes, there will be more stuff, and it's not just football related stuff either. So yeah, let's have a look.
Lingerie, one of them.
That was Bestie's idea.
Yeah,
just because he loves wearing stockings.
Daryl says, "Can we talk about some of the looks that the players were getting from Ant and Dec?" The glory.
Ant and Dec was just all of us, wasn't he? Weren't they?
Wasn't he?
They're just one person.
It was even funny. It was Burn, wasn't it? That
obviously, that was hilarious.
That's what makes it funny, isn't it? Yeah. And again, though, it's just lovely, like, to see that, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like, even someone, like, to have them types of people involved, and, like, it just, that feel-good factor. Because Ant and Dec, bless them, like, it is mad, as my last watch is I'm a Celebrity and that, and she'd always say, like, oh, they were watching the match earlier on.
My last.
Stuff like, yeah. I didn't watch that shite. I watched lots of shite, but not that. And it's just really nice, isn't it, to have them in with that.
I did find it a bit strange that Ant and Dec went down onto the pitch, like.
They've obviously just been dragged down, I reckon.
I was showing Amy the one of it's when Dan Burns in Dec's like that. He's like, look, Amy, look at this. And he goes, look, it's Dec. And she goes, is that your mate? Like Dan Burns. I was like, wish.
Wish you were. Is that your mate? Wish you were. Top off on the pitch.
Always happens.
My cousin got his granddaughter in the Metro Centre. I got a picture and Burn like stopped and he sent us it just before and he saw I was in the Metro Centre. And Dan Burns was there. So I got the Burn.
Did he get down on his knees?
And he was like, oh, no, boy, took his hat off and that and got off. So much was nice.
That's nice. That
was nice.
He's just a lovely lad.
Callum Lewis says, "Have you
Dan Burns, mate?
Have you lads done the gold envelopes? We didn't do it this season. We kept on saying we're going to do it the week after,
It was because of COVID, wasn't it? Because we couldn't get together to actually do it. Is that why it happened?
I think it was a combination of that and nobody was excited for the season.
Yeah. Right. We could still do it now.
No, I think we're not.
Open them next week.
But we just never did it.
There's no way on earth we would have got any of the predictions right. Like
Callum Wilson top scorer.
Not a chance.
Maybe. Yeah.
You'd probably said more than six goals. Like,
but I don't think anyone's going to say under.
Most improved player would never get. Player of the season would never get. Finishing position would never get.
If anybody got player of the season, got Joe Linton.
Not a chance.
That would have been absolutely
phenomenal. I think it was in there for a laugh. It would have only been put in for a laugh, I think, rather than meaning it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a league position. If you took
Joe Linton out of it, who's the most improved player then?
Most improved?
Well, I've got my
award that.
I think Kraft.
Yeah, Kraft or Scherr for me.
Most improved or player of the season?
No, well, I mean...
So I can't remember what we used to do.
I think we used to do a most... We
used to do most improved.
We did.
Disappointment. Player of the season. Position,
top goal scorer.
And top goal scorer.
Okay. Right, so obviously Joe Linton gets the most.
Wasn't Joe? Yeah,
Kraft or Scherr for me.
Probably Scherr because he really dropped off, didn't he? Yeah. After
Can we vote for underachiever?
Tough, isn't it?
This sounds harsh, but could you say same to a certain degree?
Possibly.
I think so high people going in the season.
If Monday hadn't happened the way it went, I think that probably would have been But it would have felt harsh because he's been a massive part in
I don't think anyone's underperformed this since, especially since the Turk
award. Kieran Clarke, maybe. So he was desperate to start. Woodman was poor at the start of the season. Yeah. But
it's funny that you don't
like a different club.
Longstaff, he was poor for a lot of it. He's
well, even now
he's turned it around a little bit.
He's been poor longer than he was good this season. He was excellent on Monday, don't get us wrong. But
in fair, God, I mean, it was only last week. I'm sure I was saying, like, we've offered him a new
Someone
deal.
Said Willick.
Joe, yeah.
God, Willick. Completely forgot about
Christ,
him.
Christ, aye. Sorry, Maxi, mate. Aye, Willick.
Thanks, Dan, for reminding me. That would have been like that.
Nice to be you.
Once again,
he came back since the start of the turn of the year, hasn't he?
No,
if we're looking at the season as a whole compared last season,
aye. You look at the
dog shite sometimes. Like,
the thing is, all these players, Joe, Shea, Kraft, have all improved after Eddie Howe came in.
Yeah, without question.
I think if sliding doors and all that, and butterfly effect, whatever, if we are in the same situation now as we were in September, early October with Ashley, Bruce Dillard, we're looking at them going like, well, he's shite. So Maximin's probably gone in January. He's rubbish. He's fucking terrible. It's totally.
Yeah.
For the first 14 games of the season, we were dreadful.
Oh, there's another shout, Ryan Fraser.
Mm-hmm. Miggy?
There's loads. Honestly, there's
the whole squad. Really.
I think the reason when like, for the most improved, obviously, like, Shea was mentioned there, but I've seen that from Shea. Like, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Kraft's playing at a level now that I didn't even think he was even capable of. Like,
no.
I mean, I've never even seen anything that I'm seeing. Amazing.
Turning point for Kraft was when he turned some kid playing for Sweden. He did like
he got robbed, didn't he? And then
I speak about this on this channel because we got a copyright strike.
Oh, that's because of Roger. Hi, Roger.
Oh, yeah. Don't talk about that little
sorry, UEFA. Sorry, Michelle. Oh, is there anymore, is he?
There was a
so you're not banged up in prison now.
There was a mention there. Oh, it was a great shout as well. I can't remember what it was. Oh, there it is from Kevin. It says the clip of Bruno's dad crying
hearing
his son's name being sung.
Imagine
just
that
another
one.
Lovely moment. I think since the day ago, there's been so many lush moments.
Aye.
And on and off the field.
I was reading a piece in the Athletic, one of George's pieces about the kind of the squad, but it was it referenced like the start of the Arsenal game. I might have been in a different outlet, a few articles happening. And it was when they came out, he said some of the players were like visibly quite moved by the flags and stuff, the fans. Yeah. He says Dan Byrne was like saying, lads, like, wow.
Callum Wilson and Isaac Hayden in the video you haven't watched yet.
Aye.
They're having a little chat and they basically say, like Isaac Hayden says, it's the best I've ever seen. It's amazing.
I love Isaac Hayden's tweet as well. I want to, because he's become a bit of a, I don't want to say a forgotten character because it sounds so harsh, but he hasn't been involved because of injury for the second half of the season. And his tweet, I think today or yesterday, where he was saying like about it's great and all that. Paraphrasing, because I can't remember exactly what he said.
And then whatever
happens next, I really want to. I'd love it if I'm not a part of it. I want to see it. Like,
yeah, it's very similar to Shelby's quote, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was like he's. I love hearing me. The article that George wrote that I read that I really enjoyed was and I'm not trying to sell subscriptions here, by the way, but if you want one, and it was about
that's two podcasts that he's praised on tonight as well.
Remember when he was on
the
Athletics podcast?
Yeah, you never told us that.
Was his bestie. Which didn't time, say where he was from or anything.
Which time was that?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. Both.
But no, there's not.
A shout, did he?
I think course. I did, didn't I?
No.
Surely I did.
You did not.
Thanks for listening, though, lads.
Didn't even introduce yourself as from?
From Gallagher Shots.
Decker doesn't listen to anybody else.
Honestly, I don't.
What do you think? And Decker introduced himself. I'm from SMTV Live.
Yes.
Nah, why not?
Biker Grove, surely.
From Slap Bang.
And from Ant and Deck.
I'm bestie from bestie Chris Deck and Mark.
Well, it's not Taylor and bestie anymore. No. It's bestie
who?
Chris Deck and Mark.
I put our friendship first. Ahead of any professional type of relationship that we have. But really,
have you not actually recorded longer with us now than you did with him anyway?
No, I did 5 years with Taylor. It's been
in a minute.
Mm, yeah.
There's some breaks. It was 5 weeks without podcast.
There was, aye.
There's a lot of gaps slipshod during that time.
We're making a film. That is actually why we stopped as well, to get the film finished.
I think
when we've got it wrapped up, if we're both still knocking around in 20, 30 years' time, we're still doing 10 to get it done. Like. But reading this article, and it was about how, like, another thing about Friday was it felt like the end of a generation of players, because there's still a load of that squad that were in a championship. That, like,
2016.
Gale.
Did you really want Gale to score?
Oh, God, how much? When he squared it, Fraser, no, that would have felt like a proper. And again, like I said, it felt like the end of a film. It's like a proper, like a redemptive. He's had his ups and downs. He's been away on loan at West Brom. He's come back. The crowd have kind of gone, "Is a bit shy." But if he'd have scored, that would have been like
we were begging Dan Byrne to score as well, weren't we?
But this article goes is how many of those players that are there now the start of the season still as like the spine of the squad. Like Richie, Shelby, Hayden was playing an awful lot. Lascelles, Kieran Clark.
Darlow.
Carl Darlow was, yes. Yeah. He played a few before the Rafa came back. Mike and now there's one man, he came Rafa signed him.
We spoke about it the other week where it was
Shelby. Now that's played the second half of the season, really. Shelby's the only first choice. Yeah. And that we've already started the process of moving on. And in the summer, you're going to see a lot of those players go, I think. And it was George wrote it, George and Chris, I think. This Friday, it wasn't just because we're finishing higher up the table and we thought we've got this promising future. I'm not going to say one up because we don't know how it's going to go, but it was these players that came in 2016, 2017, when it was Rafa said, oh, I've got a no dickheads policy. And they've kind of stuck and they've been a part of the whole Premier League thing so far since we came back up. And they've all done a job and they've all, the standard of football's kind of passed them by a little bit as years have gone by. And because they're 5 years older, their talents have maybe receded a little bit as well. It's kind of a thank you to them because all the way through it, through the Mike Ashley stuff, the Steve Bruce stuff, the players were never the problem. The Mibbies weren't good enough, but they were good boys. They are good boys.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah.
You know, and like Isaac Hayden, Kieran Clark. Clark's been, I've said on this podcast this season, I think his treatment's been a bit harsh because in the Championship, he was fucking excellent. Yeah. You know, he got back up in the one season back in the Premier League. Yeah, I think he was our top scorer for a spell. He got two or three early in the season.
Yep.
It might have been Bruce's first season. And these are, they're still in the squad, I think seven or eight of them. That they were never the problem. When we were struggling, it wasn't because they weren't trying or they were upsetting the club, like how, you know, the thing with Sunderland, when they like dropped down a couple of divisions, and it was either they're rotten to the core, you've got Catamores, a dickhead, John O'Shea's a bad egg. These aren't those lads. These are fucking good boys, these, who just time and the standard, the way we play has changed. And
the league progressed injuries, without this football
club. Yeah, and if you stand, and that's just how it is. And this Friday, the lap of honour was as much for them as it was, for me at least, it was for Dwight Gale, for all those lads, as it was for Callum Wilson or for, right, you know, the lads who are kind of going to be taking the club forward. It was nice. It was like that was the end of the, almost the end of the Mike Ashley era, really, where they were the ones that kind of were kind of gatekeepers for the club between the bridged, the Ashley and the what we are now.
I wasn't thinking like you at all when I was on Monday. I wish I'd have now.
Yeah, no, it was nice.
I honestly didn't think of it that way.
I don't think I would have until Gail came on. And right, that was, for me, I was like, oh, of course, because it shooting towards Gallagher as well, and that was the goal he scored against Barnsley, the going down, coming up thing.
Yeah.
That was the same, and that would have just been a nice little
thing. The only time I had a feeling of that was Richie was warming up in front of, he like warmed up, and my dad's, because my dad loves Richie, and he was like, I think he might be gone next season, do you reckon? And we had a bit of a sort of conversation of that, like,
That'll upset me.
There's none of them
Richie.
He still doesn't think Richard was playing for the goal down at Arsenal.
He wasn't. No, definitely not.
Another donation then from Will Thorne, who says, greetings.
The snooker player? No.
Says, greetings. Not Willie.
180. He's dead, isn't he?
No, he's messaged in.
No, that was it. No, I heard that story. Sorry, I've totally cut across Will Thorne here. Sorry. It's a story about Jimmy White being a nightclub. No, sorry, Jason McAteer's in a nightclub, right, and Jimmy White walks in, and McAteer goes, 180! Sorry, Will.
Hi, Will. He says, a greetings from a long-time US fan and listener. Question is, would Howe win Manager of the Year if he had accomplished what he has for Newcastle United at a club like Arsenal? It's hard to make that comparison because I don't think Arsenal would ever drop to where we were.
They were?
At the point of where we were.
Very, very early in the season. They weren't.
Start of the season, they were tired. They were wanting Arteta out for a long period.
And expect to be in for the remainder of the season. I think it's hard to compare the two clubs, but Eddie Howe's name is rightfully in the running for manager.
He was second in the votes, wasn't he, the last I've seen?
Jürgen Klopp was first.
They could win all four trophies this season.
Premier League manager of the season.
No, that's fair.
Aye. I think Brentford's bloke deserves that's it personally.
Awesome. He's been excellent. Him.
Unreal.
What's his name again?
Frank
Lampard, not Stelvin. That's Everton. Thomas Frank.
Thomas Frank. Absolutely amazing. Honestly, amazing. When they beat Everton, I thought, didn't them beat Chelsea like 4 or something like that? And on the budget that them have got and who them are to be Yeah. Never in trouble, really. Never to be in trouble.
No, they've never.
It's remarkable.
We'll get relegated next season.
No, listen, maybe, but I think if you're basing it on this season, as much as I want how to win it, if he won it, I'd be like, you know, that's
fair play, the guy. Fair play. I don't know if it was a different club, I think it would be more lauded. I think if
Lampard does that at Everton,
yeah.
Oh my God,
what Eddie Howe's done at Newcastle. They'd have a crown already.
Media darling, Frank Lampard, you mean?
Well, to comment on that one, what really pissed us off, and I'm so glad I kind of didn't watch any of it on Monday in this regard, but on the Tuesday, I then decided, as I said, I watched it three times. I watched it again. What the fuck was going on after that game where Carragher and Neville were talking about it, and we never got any inkling of praise from at all? Actually, the full half an hour was just about how bad Arsenal were, and now Arteta threw the season away, and now it's a young squad, and it's this and it's that. Postponing the North London derby was a problem for them. What?
Yeah.
Did you not see how we made it difficult for them? Did you not see how we performed?
I got back on Monday, and I thought I'll stick Sky Sports News on, because I didn't have a drink on Monday at all. I got the Metro back, and we made Kieran drove back from him up there. He was the Jared. I watched it. I'll get the goals on Sky Sports News, and most of it was about Jake Daniels. Like, fair enough, the young lad at Blackpool, he's come out. That's all right. And then it was, we're going to have a look at, and they had the graphic on it was Newcastle 2, Arsenal 0. And he had a behind, you know, how they have the kind of big background thing. And it was Arteta and two Arsenal players, and no Newcastle. It was like, oh, hang on a sec. It was all a tough night for Arsenal. It's a Champions League dreams lying. And Newcastle didn't get mentioned.
Yeah.
Didn't show the goals. It wasn't a great performance by Eddie Howe's side. And it's newsworthy that a team that are going for fourth are knocked off it. Yes, but the manner in which it happened, almost felt like it was kind of our little secret.
Yeah. That's why, you know, makes I fully expected Carragher and Neville to go to town on Arsenal because it was such a big night for them. And I get all of that. But then I was expecting. But like I was waiting for our moment and it just didn't come, and I'm thinking that's ridiculous.
Dan Wood mentioned as well that Jack gave a really honest interview as well.
Yeah, he did.
Carragher and Neville just slated him for being honest.
Neville was fuming,
twisted what he was saying technically, because he didn't say that it was the young player's fault. He was saying it doesn't matter what age people are, they need to be up to be playing games.
He could have been having a go like that just as easily as Smith Rowe.
Neville was raging, was really unhappy. Exactly. I think it was the host. I can't remember his name. Is McAlmony.
He said,
Gary, like, we're asking them, you complain when they're not being honest, and he's just giving an honest interview, and now you complain he's being honest.
Normally, I would say Carragher, Neville are the ones that you listen to the most, because they're quite even handed normally, but they get it wrong sometimes.
Anything else to add before we sign out tonight, boys? Anything burning inside that you want to really mention?
The Shiva statue is nice to see where it is, and it sounds daft, this, but I couldn't really, even though I knew where it was going and I was happy it was on site, if you like, I couldn't quite imagine what it would look like there. Do you know what I mean? And then when I seen it yesterday, I was like, oh, actually, that's gonna be amazing. Like,
do you think they're gonna put a fence around the back of it? Because there's gonna be a lot of people climbing on the back of that. It's right on the wall where the steps go
up. It is, isn't it? Really,
people do it the Bobby one now.
True.
There's something that really annoys me about that statue now.
The Shearer one.
Which one? So, as you've just mentioned, it's built into the wall coming down from the side of the Gallagher stand.
It's where the old ticket office used to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you look at the very top left-hand stone...
Oh, someone took a photo of that the other day.
It's got a little thin slope on it. All the rest of them have got a much bigger slope on it, and it just looks completely out of line.
On a whacker, yeah. Get on. That's one from Mirdad and Amanda.
That's the thing that annoys you over that one that he's doing.
That one needs replacing.
So the celebration is a 1v Sunderland, right? So the last one, but he's wearing the wrong kit.
But he didn't just do that celebration again.
Do you not celebrate like that against Sunderland and St James's when he's in the one all draw?
But he's wearing the wrong kit.
No, he's wearing the right. When Sunderland, it was the last Roker Park season, but we played him in St James's. I think we beat him 1-0, might have drawn 1-1. And Shearer, something more white with the red.
He's doing that celebration on that card right there.
He has done it loads of times.
Oh, his hand's up on that one, man.
Have a look.
Looks like his finger on that one. His hand on that
looks
one.
Looks like his finger.
That one's his finger. The penalty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Looks like
that one's his finger. Light.
Yeah. No idea.
But he has. He's done that a lot of times.
Loads. It should have been one at Ewood Park.
Obviously, it should.
That was mad when he did that.
Remember those people? What's he doing? Why's he doing that?
Well, the second one, he done a Klinsmann, but
I was going to say he couldn't get one of them, hasn't he?
Yeah. He just couldn't get back up. Lovely costume, don't me that was as well. But
a couple of people said the big annoyance is that it doesn't even look like him.
Bobby Davro.
That is what always I think so special about the Bobby one. Like, The Bobby one is just amazing, isn't it? It's classic. Absolutely amazing.
I did think it was going to be nearer to Shearer's than it is, if that makes sense. Like more.
I think it was just a case where there wasn't any way to put it.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Shearer's statue would be closer to Shearer's?
Aye.
Oh, right, I've got you.
There's no way else to put it where land that the club owned, because I thought a great place would have been opposite. So the opposite of the gallery, where you've got the billboards, where that similar where the food bank is.
Where the food bank is,
I thought that'd be mint, like in that direction, like looking onto the Gallagher, but obviously that must be
council land as well, isn't it? That's
But yeah,
I'm happy that it's close to Bobby's, like, person. Oh, it's nice, nice.
No, touch. I like it. It does.
We'll have one at Eddie Howe in about 30 years.
Three.
When he's dead.
Well, I was going to say, he might be having it. He has to be dead. So.
Three. She is not dead. He's got a statue.
I know. That's fine.
Oh,
you'll have a statue.
Statues. Have they got to be retired when they're going to statue? Or can they still be involved as employees?
No, no. Got to be retired.
And dead for a stand.
Yeah.
So do you still do you think next season when we come back it's still going to be the East Stand? Yeah, nothing changing there. No remarkable changes happening.
I hope it's not like the Riyad. Imagine the fucking
the Riyad Mahrez stand.
Yeah, Mahrez stand. I.
Big strange.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's Audi Golf Stand.
If you get a renaming of the stand after somebody like Keegan,
gotta be man. Gotta be.
Yes, or I'll remain.
Wouldn't be my choice, like.
Right, we're going to sign this one off. Thanks everybody who has joined us tonight. Been a pleasure as always. We will be back at some point next week, probably next Monday.
I won't.
Oh, you're away.
I'm not here next Monday.
Yeah, so it'll be even better.
Be going.
Somebody else might be here, or it might just be three people.
Yeah, it might just be the three. But anyway, thanks very much, everybody. Been a pleasure. If you do want to like the video as well, that would be great. Become a member as well. Help us out a little bit. And
press the like button now. When you're here, you're watching, just look down below the screen. It's about there. Just press it.
Do that again. Oh, I think it is about there.
It is about there, where I am on the screen.
Yeah.
Just give it that little thumbs up button.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Love you. Bye.